Rambo Balboa.
Rambo Balboa, make it happen. Rambo versus Rocky versus Predator versus Alien.
Got me dizzy.
Yeah, versus.
Got a little lightheaded there.
Versus Transformers.
Versus Judge Dredd.
Versus G.I. Joe.
Well, versus. What's his name? The game maker.
You really want to take this to the next level? Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting First Blood edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
I'm your worst nightmare.
Who?
I'm your worst nightmare.
But I don't have nightmares. I have pleasant dreams.
I'm your wet dream.
Well, hello, John Rambo. How are you today?
I'm just looking for some place to eat.
I mean, I was just going, you know, walking down the street, going to Portland. I don't even know why. I was just going.
That's what you did.
Like, I'm like a dog chasing cars, you know? That's the wrong movie.
Just walking down the road, you know, they make horror movies that start out like
they
that.
They do. They also make pornos that start like that, too, though. Yeah. You know? What movie is that from?
Detroit Rock
what,
City.
Here's a harder question for you. What movie did we used to watch that had the trailer for that movie before it? Because that's where I saw that.
I want to say it's Addams Family Values.
Really?
Or Adam's like, Family.
A kid's movie?
Adam's Family? The first one was not a kid's movie. It's fucking PG-13, if I recall.
We should watch that soon because they're coming out with that new one. Animated.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, but I am your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, Gus, over there.
Don't push it.
Don't push nothing because nothing is over. Nothing.
Yeah, you just can't shut it off.
Yeah, you can't shut it off because this is First Blood, not Last Blood. You can shut it off if you get the Last Blood. but yes, we are the Brothers Movie Factory. What we do here on the pod, if you're new, is every week we take a film from the past. We watch said film. We then take to the pod to imagine what would that film look like if it came out today. We talk about what's good. We talk about what's bad. And we submit the movie to the factory where we imagine what would it look like if we had modern booking, new actors, new actresses, new directors, new composers, as if it came out today.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. Today we did, in honor of Rambo Last Blood coming out, last Thursday?
Last week, right there.
Last Blood came out. Now it's coming to a slow crawl, like a little dribble blood. But
just a little dribble, blood.
Just a little dribble. But we decided that we would spend this week coming to you for our first episode of season two, watching Rambo, First Blood, the movie that started the rampage.
Yeah, some would say it started the modern action film.
Really?
Some would say. Yeah, 1982.
I feel like. I don't even know if I consider this movie like an action film, though.
Oh,
like,
certainly.
I almost thought of it like in a genre of its own. It was like it was really weird.
Would you classify this film more along the category of like that of like Home Alone?
I would categorize this movie more along the lines of like a psychological war film, like war thriller.
A war thriller.
Yeah.
I put this in an action film straight up.
Yeah, I mean it is an action film, but it's like. It's like one, if we're like making a cocktail, like we're like, what's the Rambo cocktail? It's like one part the Battle for Endor, one part Home Alone, and like three parts Rambo 2.
And just a hint of The Deer Hunter.
And just a hint of Luminol. but yeah, no, it's intense. This is the first time... Well, not the first time. The second time we've watched it, but the first time in years both of us have watched it. And did we watch it for the first time together?
Yeah, I'm sure it's been over 10 years. I remember watching this the first one, I remember getting the trilogy before the fourth one was coming out. And that came out in 2008.
Yeah. Well, I remember, I do know for a fact, the first time I watched this movie was with Father. He is a big fan of these films. And I, for whatever reason, I remember when Rambo's walking into town, the cop picks him up, drives him out, and he's like, Portland, straight ahead. And Rambo just turns around and start walking the other way, like walking back toward town. I remember our father just going, oh, that's badass. And you can like hear him saying it, like, that's badass right there.
Because he knows what's to come.
Yeah, you know what's about to ensue. And the movie does. It goes 0 to 100 in about like a second. It's like, fuck it. Real quick. But oh yeah, no, it's almost in a, it's almost a genre of its own. I tell you, it's just the way everything pans out. Like it starts as like this, you know, post-war kind of deal. He's like going, trying to find his friend, finds out his friend passed away to cancer. And he's just kind of a drifter walking. And then he gets arrested by a dick cop.
Yeah.
And then it just turns into this all-out brawl for survival, pretty much, where cops are dying, people are getting shot. It's intense, really fast. Like, it goes from zero, literally zero to 100, really, really quick.
You know, something I really appreciate about this film, which is different than the book that it's based on, we'll get into that here in a minute, was, other than one accidental death, Rambo doesn't kill anybody.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say like someone died. Like on, you're like, other than one accidental death, no one died on set. Believe it or not.
No. Rambo doesn't kill a single soul in this film.
He might have though. They might have died at the hospital.
They died of their injuries. Yeah.
That one guy gets stabbed in the goddamn leg, and I was like, "There's like arteries and stuff in there."
Yeah.
He gets stabbed.
Not in the '80s.
Stakes. They didn't have that back then. Mm-hmm. People just had skin.
Yeah. There's just a little bit of blood when they pulled those sticks out of him.
Yeah.
Fun factoid too, just around that scene, when Rambo's on the run, you know, hiding from the cops in the woods, he stumbles upon that like little junk area and he pulls out like an old piece of rotten canvas that was found there. They decided to like work that into the story, and it was a piece of rotten canvas. I mean, they had one piece of it, and Stallone still has that.
Yeah,
like a case
in his own museum.
Yeah, he got lost there once.
In his own museum.
Yeah.
I mean, he ain't punchy or nothing. He just has trouble talking. You know, he can read.
So, what are some other things you enjoyed about this film? What are some things that stood out to you?
Well, that's the thing. It's just, have you ever seen a movie that played out quite like this one does?
I mean, since yes.
Yeah, but up till this point. Let's expand on that. What films have you seen like this?
That have come after?
Yeah.
Well, now you've got me on this one.
Exactly. Jack Reacher. Jack Reacher. Haven't seen it.
I don't know.
Like Mission Impossible, the one where he's on the run.
Yeah, all of them.
All the ones he's
Rogue
on the
Nation.
Run. Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I'm saying like this film, small little town. And it gets rocked by, like, this war veteran who is Medal of Honor war hero, and he just kind of snaps for PSD, right?
PTSD.
PTSD, PSD. I knew I was missing something. I was like, PSTD. And I was
Post-like,
STD.
Syndrome.
STD, baby. But no, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And it just kind of is like a study almost in that, like what it can cause, what war can do to someone. And just it literally spills out into the streets, goes into the woods, and turns into like this like survival film almost. And then from there turns into like he's terrorizing a town. It turns into Gremlins at the end. So it's just so interesting, like where the film takes you in this small setting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just it's intense from start to finish. And you know what's funny too is like Rambo, you could argue that Rambo is kind of the bad guy in a sense.
Argue with me.
Argue. Okay.
I'll argue against it.
You could argue that, you know, he was being semi-disrespectful to a cop who was being disrespectful to him. He did not have any reason to really be arrested. However, ultimately, they were abusing him in a sense. But then when it came down to it, when he does get on the run, he could have just, you know, easily turned himself in and ran away. Instead, he kind of, like, hunts them down toward the middle. He's just, like, he's not killing anyone, but he's definitely fucking their lives up a little bit. Like, that guy who gets stabbed in the quads, he's never walking normal again.
Well, what are they going to do to him when they find him? They're going to kill him.
Well, one guy was.
they're gonna put him to sleep.
Yeah. You could say, though, that he's a bad guy in a sense, but you can also say that there's, like, really no one that's good in this film other than the Colonel.
I disagree, because I would say Rambo is indeed the hero, or not the hero, but the protagonist of this story. He is troubled. He is wounded mentally from the war. You get flashes of it, him being a prisoner of war. So mentally, he's in trouble, and he gets put in these scenarios that trigger his PTSD. And
are cool ones too. Those are cool, like, shots and stuff.
And that's really what the story and the point of this whole film in general is, also just making you aware of that it is a real thing, PTSD. And there were victims of that. People came back from this war, and then nobody wanted anything to do with them. Like, what were they fighting for? And they keep having these, you know, flashes and just being brought back to the war that they had witnessed, and, you know, real violence that they witnessed. So,
Tobey Maguire from Brothers.
Or, you know, John J. Rambo from First Blood.
Or John J. Rambo from First Blood Part 2.
Or Last Blood.
Or Rambo 3.
Or Rambo.
Or just Rambo. Yeah. Rambo Rocky.
Yes. Rambo Balboa.
Rambo Balboa. Make it happen. Rambo versus Rocky. Versus Predator. Versus Alien.
Got me dizzy.
Yeah. Versus.
Got a little lightheaded there.
Versus Transformers.
Versus Judge Dredd.
Versus G.I. Joe.
Whoa. Versus. The what's his name? The game maker.
You really want to take this to the next level? This is John Cena. I don't know, but he's gonna win. Yeah, he's gonna win.
Spoiler: Cena wins. Lol. But yeah,
big time.
So yeah, he gets pushed to the edge by these crooked cops in this tiny town, and it becomes a revenge movie from both ends.
What's funny is that when that cop does die from, and you can't argue there, was it Rambo's fault, or was it that guy's? He almost was, like, defeated by his own. The guy was defeated by his own stupidity, but also defeated by, like, his own pride
and
vengeance. Like, he was just like, I'm going to kill this man even though he's defenseless, and he unbuckled his seat and then fell out of a helicopter.
He even said something to the helicopter pilot, something like
if you do something, I'll kill you. He was just as crazy.
Oh, I got a sneeze.
Don't do it.
I got a little lightheaded there.
You survived. No. he was kind of crazy, and then, like,
he unbuckled himself, and he, you know,
he was like a dick before that.
Yeah,
too.
And they threw a rock, and he fell out and died. But they blamed Rambo for
it. That's almost another thing where you're like, these cops, like, they're just assholes. Other than the one. The one is like, he's like, why are we doing this? He's a war hero. There's nothing wrong with them. It's us. We're being mean to them, basically.
Yeah, we're pushing them.
Yeah. And so, like, even then, though, like, that's when the sheriff tells that kid, he's like, you know,
grabs him.
Yeah.
Shoves his face in that dead body.
Yeah. He's like, we've been friends when your mama was wiping your nose. I'm like, well, you were friends with an asshole. I'm sorry. Like, he was a psychotic asshole. And so it's like, yeah, I just didn't get it, almost. Like, I didn't get why they, like, it's almost like they're just bored, and they're just, like, looking for trouble, basically.
And then they couldn't let him go, because they couldn't lose, kind of deal.
Yeah, and pride.
Yeah, and then Rambo himself, like, throughout the actions of the movie, realizes there's nothing in this world for him, in this world.
Yeah.
You know, all he knew was war.
Yeah.
And back there, he had it all. He had a life.
Yeah, it's like Brooks in Shawshank Redemption.
Kind of, yeah.
I forget what that's called. That has a name. When you're institutionalized in prison, that's what it's called, where you, like, know nothing but prison. Yeah. So when you get into the real world, you don't know what to do. That's what Brooks does.
That's part of a PTSD, too.
Yeah.
And the movie Hurt Locker, similar.
Oh, so scenario. Like I've never watched Hurt Locker.
It's there.
It's Jeremy Renner.
What's the word? He'd like defuse bombs in the war. Came back to the real world. Couldn't hang. Like he just didn't know where he belonged, and he went back. He just went back.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yeah. So it's just and you see that there's a lot of movies that delve into the PTSD thing. Like I said, I made the joke earlier, but Brothers, like Tobey Maguire and Brothers, like he clearly has PTSD in that movie. And there are a lot of films that dive into that, even shows. One popular one that
spooky.
Even other shows like Grey's Anatomy, Hunt, Dr. Hunt. He was a medical doctor in the army or the military, and he has PTSD. So like you see it across a lot of different movies and genres and lots of different things. Yeah. So
nothing is over.
Nothing is over.
You just can't shut it off.
Yeah, and so it is interesting that this film, which was based on a book, which I did not know, was very effective in the way that it told its story. And very effective in the fact that you did say it's like he almost realizes there's nothing for him. And then there's something at the end that the colonel tells Rambo that, like, you waged this war on society, like this one-man war. So it's almost like he was doing it just because there was nothing for him.
Yeah.
Like, he was just trying to, like, maybe do, like, a suicide by cops kind of deal or just kind of going back to what he knew, what he was good at, which was waging war.
Yeah, there was a... I mean, and not that there was. There is a big difference between the film and the book.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, big difference.
As there always is.
Yeah. So, I would say it was written by David Morrell in 1972. It was published. Good 10 years before the film actually came out. But I'll just say straight up, some of the biggest differences between the book and the film is the violence. In the book... way more violent. He's more of a cold-blooded killer.
He kills everybody.
Yeah, like, you know, just to compare the two scenes in the movie when they go to shave him, and he's, like, being held up, and he has PTSD about when he was cut in the chest, and they went to shave him, he breaks away, that's when he escapes. In the book, he takes the razor and cuts the guy from the abdomen up and kills him.
Nice.
You know, right off the bat. And,
he's making the logs from Endor and just smushing people.
He's killing people left and right.
It's basically Predator.
Yeah, only Rambo. He's I don't want to say less human because he has one thought in mind, and that's killing all these people because he's triggered from his PTSD. And
in the movie, it's more like he has a conscience and he's just trying to survive.
Yeah, he just wants to move on.
Yeah.
But the world won't let him. In the book, he's just Rambo. They don't give him a first name, nothing like that. In the film, they do.
They probably are like, John. John Doe. John Rambo.
Yeah.
Han Solo.
Yeah.
Rambo Solo.
A lot of that is Stallone's choosing. Because no one wanted to take on this movie. Everyone was passing on it. Ultimately, because of the ending. And I'll get to that.
Really? The ending?
Yeah. So, in the book, yes, everyone is out to get Rambo. Same plot, basically, only he's just killing more people. It also focuses a lot on Teasel, the sheriff. And
he's kind of like his foil, in a sense.
Yeah, it focuses more on him, you know, fleshes him out, explains how he was also a war veteran from the Korean War, things like that. And ultimately, in the end, they... go to kill each other, and Rambo ultimately kills the sheriff, but he was gonna kill himself too. He got shot. Rambo did. He was bleeding out. He was gonna detonate this dynamite, and he was gonna kill himself, but he didn't have enough strength to do that even. And the colonel puts him down.
Ah,
yeah.
That's like, very different.
Yeah, he's like, I made this. I need to end this.
So, like, let's make a franchise out of this instead.
Yeah. So, in the book, Rambo dies. In the film, Stallone is the one that fought to keep the character alive because they had written him to die one of two ways. Either, yes, one, the colonel kills him, or two, He escapes the police station, but then dies in a shootout with the
Gran
cops.
Torino style.
Instead, Rambo's like, what if I just get escorted out?
Yeah. And they did film one of those two endings with him dying in a test screening. You know, the whole crowd's like cheering for him. Rambo. You're on Rambo's side.
Yeah.
You feel
he dies,
for him.
And you're like, ah.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, that's what happened. Like, the air got sucked out of the room.
And they were like, it's like in The Gray when he's about to fuck up the wolf, and everyone's like, oh. Mm-hmm.
So this person you're behind the whole movie dies. Like, Stallone saw the bigger picture. Yeah, he was able to see how the audience was going to take this movie. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
I mean, that's arguably the best part of the film is that final monologue.
Yeah.
That it gives. Because, I mean, when we watch these movies, a lot of times they're movies we've seen, a lot of times movies we have an idea what's about. And every now and again, you know, we're eating food, we have a dog around every now and again, we're petting or talking to, we have to throw stuff away, we got to get up and go use the restroom, we got to check our phone real quick. You know, there are distractions. But you know something special when we're watching a film when Gus and I are both just fucking shut up and watching it and not saying a goddamn word, not making a joke, because we crack a lot of jokes when we're watching, make a lot of references, but sitting there, we were just both like, watching this phenomenal monologue by Stallone. And then both of us, I feel like afterwards, are like, did he get nominated for this? Like, because it was like, fuck, that's good. And he didn't, but still. Yeah. It was, like, so intense, and he brought that character to life in a way that I'm not sure if anyone else. Yeah, especially at the end there. And I was watching, I'm like, that's fucking Rocky. But it's not, though, at the same time.
That's Rambo.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, though. Like, a lot of times with Stallone, people make that argument. They're like, oh, he's mostly the same character in every movie because he's, like, the same voice, this, that, and the other. But it's, my God, he's so much different in this film, you know? In Rocky, he's almost, like, kind of coy and nervous, but also, like, a strong fighter. In this, he's, like, reclusive and not talkative, almost mute, in a sense, until that very ending scene. He's, like, so... It's, like, Mick dying emotional. That's what it is. Like, it's there in your face. It's so fucking good.
He was able to break down and let out everything that was inside, and the only thing that could save him was compassion.
Yes.
That's all he needed was some compassion.
Well, yeah, because everyone was so cold to him. Even when he comes at the very beginning of the film, and he's introducing himself to this lady who was one of his good friends of Vietnam, which you later find out was the only one that made it back with him out of his crew. The only person that he was happy, it seemed. He was so excited to see his friend. He had a smile on his face. He was making jokes, showing him the picture. And this lady is so mean to him, in a sense.
He gone.
Yeah, like, he's dead. Vietnam killed him. Like, she was mad at him because he represented Vietnam. And that's almost how the world views him as a soldier. Like, even when he walks into town, the cop, very first thing the cop says to you is, you're walking around with that flag on your jacket around here, is asking for trouble. You know, like, what did he do other than wear, you know, an army jacket or a, you know, green beret jacket? So it's like, no one is showing him kindness at all, other than the one deputy. And I think he gets fucked up a little bit.
He gets punched around a little bit.
Yeah. And so it's pretty crazy. And the colonel even says, like, just let him go. He's not going to do anything. If you let him go, we'll find him in Seattle, and he'll be working at a car wash or something. And that's probably what would have happened. Mm-hmm. And he would have calmed down and been fine and realized what he did and, you know, walked away. He even at one point says, you know, I didn't do anything. Yeah. I didn't hurt anyone. And they shoot at him.
Exactly.
They're just fucking idiots. They're very incompetent cops.
Yeah.
Which is what I guess, I mean, you could make the argument, you see that kind of trope in a lot of films, but that's like complacency breeds like incompetency. Like, they aren't doing anything in this small little town. He says it's like peaceful, almost boring. And I get paid to keep it that way, basically. So it's like, these people have never experienced anything like that. Even the National Guard are like, fuck this. Yeah. Like, we do this on the weekends. I'm going to the drugstore. I have to watch my kids tomorrow. Like, they're not soldiers in a sense as they're portrayed in this film. Now, I know I have a friend that's in the National Guard, and they do a lot of training and shit. Like, I'm pretty sure they would be more competent than the people in this film.
It was the 80s.
They're like, shoot the bazooka into this gas-filled mine. You don't know
if it was gas filled. He kept saying
it was gas filled.
He kept saying that. Yeah, that's smart. There's gas in there.
There is natural gas. That's what it was.
30 seconds to get out of there.
Like, 30 seconds.
30?
30, 3, and then I count the 0. 3-0.
That was one of my favorite jokes of the night. Like you said, we do some commentary here and there. He's like, we were like, 3-0, is that 30? And then they like shoot the bazooka. There's like a whole other scene. And then it cuts back to Stallone in the cave lighting a match. I was like, 28, 29, 30.
He's like looking at that little strip of paper. I'm like, let me check my Christmas list, dude.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
But not that final scene.
No, not that final scene. We're like, oh, shh.
Yeah.
It's like watching a movie with us is like the scene in SpongeBob the movie where SpongeBob's like, woo! Yeah! Woo! Shh! It's like that.
Now, but what did you think of the Colonel as a performance?
He sounded like William Shatner. The way he talked all the time. I taught him to kill, clean up after himself, shave, wash himself, eat, and fly helicopters. Kill people, survive, eat dogs.
Like, God didn't make him, I did.
Yeah, he like talked very factual. And he always nodded his head.
Did you like him, or would you have preferred someone else?
I mean, I honestly probably would have preferred someone else. However, he's iconic for this role.
He is iconic for this role, isn't that funny?
And he was good. I mean, the motherfucker would have been better cast in the Street Fighter movie than...
Of course!
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, that guy. I thought you meant M. Bison.
M. Bison? No, M. Bison in that movie's great.
Yeah, I know. So I was like, of course!
Yeah. Did you see someone photoshopped, has been gone viral, someone photoshopped the picture of... Chris Evans from Avengers, where he's like wearing big aviators, or not? I think it's maybe Winter Soldier. He's like in hiding, wearing the big aviators and the jacket. But someone photoshopped Guile's hair onto him, and it looks so fucking good.
There you go.
But yeah. Anyways, I liked him in it, but you know, you feel like there could have been something more to that role, maybe, in a sense.
And I feel bad because I know there are some Rambo diehards out there. And yeah, as you said, he is an iconic character.
I was like, what else is he in? And you're like, Rambo 2.
I personally felt like he didn't take me out of the movie, obviously, but everyone else is like so real, and he just felt like he was in like a play. Like a musical. And, you know, not necessarily.
He's over-exaggerated.
A little bit. That's what I mean. Like, he felt like he was on a stage or something. He came in late into this movie.
Came to get my boy.
Originally, it was going to be actor Kirk Douglas. And he passed on the movie because he also... Oh, they were changing the ending.
He wanted to kill him?
He wanted to kill Rambo. He thought that was the right way to end it.
He's like, I want to be the man.
And they changed it, and without a word, like we're filming your scenes tomorrow, he just woke up in the night and hopped on a plane and flew back home. He didn't say anything. He's quit.
He went back home and raised Michael Douglas to be Hank Pym.
That's right. So
we'll get Michael Douglas to play him.
They got this actor in, and they flew him in, and that night he was acting, and he was like a little... apprehensive. He's like, I don't know who this character is. Like, I don't know what you're looking for. So they just went.
I don't know what year it is. Yeah. I thought that's what you were about to say. You're like, I don't know what year.
It turned out all right, though.
No, yeah. Like you said, he's iconic for the role. It's just like, he's very interesting. Like, he's just, I recruited him, trained him, taught him everything he knows. I'd say that makes him my boy. Like, it's just the way, I don't know, he went about everything.
Stallone saw, Rambo as the Frankenstein monster.
Really?
And
like not wanting to hurt anyone, but everyone else wants to hurt him, so he chooses to hurt everyone.
They see him as a monster, so they treat him as a monster.
I mean, they say that all the time. They're like, you want that psycho out there?
Yeah. And he sees the Colonel as Dr. Frankenstein.
Mm. He sees the Colonel as the little girl. Yeah. That's a great look and a great analogy for the film, because that is kind of how it is. Like, everyone, like we said, everyone's just so afraid of him for absolutely no reason. Like, you see compassion right at the beginning from him. He's happy, he's excited to be there, and he's kind of upset by the fact that his last friend from the war passed away. Like, the one person that actually understands what he went through and everything, all the loss and hard and pain, hardships and pain that he went through, passed away, and now he has no one, nothing. And you know, you could argue too, like, what was he doing before that? Why was he okay before that? Well, before that, he knew he had a friend in the world. He knew he had this one person out there, and that person is now gone. And he's, you know, hit with this bombshell, and then immediately after that, some guy's being a dick to him.
Yeah,
like, it's,
I mean, because we don't see it, we don't know, but I would not argue, but say he wasn't all right before, because he even mentions, like, he can't even get a job. Fucking cause.
Yeah.
You know, the world, it just, overall, the world hasn't been kind to him since he came back.
They got back off the plane, they're protesting me in my face. How could they protest me if they've never been in my shoes, never seen what I have?
Exactly.
And it's all true, too, because, like, people do that. It's a sad fact of our world, and I don't mean to get not political, but it is a sad fact that people often judge others. Whether, you know, there's people out there like, you shouldn't judge people, and then they're, in effect, judging someone else for saying they're judging someone. Like, it's just the world. It's how humans are, in a sense. And so people are assholes. But, like, how do you protest someone for something that they did? Like, they went to Vietnam. They fought in Vietnam War. Did they want to fight? We don't know. What did they actually do? Did they kill anyone? Did they murder children or anything? He's like, they called me a murderer. They telling me I killed kids. Did he? They don't know. They never walked in his shoes. They never saw who he was. They're just assuming. So in turn, they're being bad people at the same time. So it's just it's like almost like a social statement too. Like, how can you? It's saying, like, how you should walk in someone's shoes, walk a mile in someone else's shoes. But it's that final scene, Jesus.
Yeah.
Even but you were like, let's just watch Rambo 2. No, let's watch First Blood Part 2.
Yeah.
Why wasn't it called Second Blood?
Because they're not smart enough.
Like, what should we call the second one? Rambo 2? No.
I mean,
Rambo First Blood Part 2? Shit, that's good.
Okay, so this is what went down. Like, they did, like, their screening for distribution, and they had all kinds of distributors, like, in the producer's,
like,
face.
Production companies?
No, like, they had already filmed the movie. They didn't have anyone to, like, distribute it.
Oh, okay.
Put it out,
yeah,
into the theaters.
Straight to DVD.
And people were, like, in the producer's face, like, let us buy, you know, this movie.
Was it going to be big? Like, was it supposed to be? Because this was, like, after Rocky.
It was after Rocky and Stallone, yeah, was
had
on.
Had he done Over the Top yet?
I don't think so. Mm. I think Over the Top was 86, 85.
Thank God.
But he had done Rocky 1 and 2 at this point. So he was a name. And, yeah.
It's a name with an Oscar.
But they didn't know, like, the Rambo property, if it would succeed because of a subject matter. And,
this is pretty close to the Vietnam War, too.
When it was released.
Short after.
Yeah. When it was released, it was huge success.
Really? Oh, yeah. I didn't know if it would have been seen as a success or not.
Yeah, it was. It was. It in its opening weekend, at the time, it was a lot of money. Grossed, like, $7 million. And it just consistently kept making that much more. And, it grossed a lot of money, and it was a big hit. And, shortly after, they started making a sequel. So it only makes sense to call it First Blood Part 2, hence the title. But they did put the over name, Rambo, because maybe they saw that as more marketable.
Yeah. Well, people tie it to the character. Mm-hmm.
Even tonight, we were like, Rambo, First Blood, but it's just First Blood.
I just remember Rambo 2 being a lot more intense.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I
it's more... That one's more of a war film.
It's more iconic.
Yeah.
There's more memorable, like, shots, like him with a bow and arrow. And
yeah. Him and like that. Flying the helicopter.
The iconic look of him, like, with the thing around his head and just shirtless and just with a bow and arrow.
Looking
and
cut.
Yes.
Yes! Yes! Let's make steak!
And cut it with these Rambo knives.
Yeah, well,
they got,
you did
you
get
know.
Some Rambo knives. Yeah. This is what we did tonight. So, we always try to make a meal for the film. Gus yesterday texted me. I said, "Hey, can you go pick up some rabbit?" So I went down to Strip
he
District
went
in Pittsburgh. Yeah, I went to hunt some rabbit. Went down to Strip District in Pittsburgh. Found some rabbit. and Gus marinated overnight, cooked rabbit, and then Gus went to Harbor Freight, which is a tool store for those of you who don't know, and found literal survival knives that we were going to eat the rabbit with. However, they're so fucking big. And also, we just ended up using them as, like, decor props. Like, it was like a, instead of a candle-lit dinner, it was like a knife-lit dinner. There was just, like, survival knives right next to our food. We didn't do anything with them. They were just there.
Yeah, they're just looking at us, making sure we're safe.
Yeah, they're like, in case you need it.
Yeah, Rambo didn't stab anybody with it.
Rambo didn't. He used the compass. did he do anything else?
I said we should have done it. You can open the bottom because it is a survival knife. We should put some like A1 steak sauce in there. You know, squirt
put
it out.
Whiskey in there.
Oh yeah,
so bourbon. Oh. You know, if Jimmy Stewart was in this movie, he wouldn't have escaped. He would have talked him down.
He would have died.
Yeah, no. He is a Congressional Medal of Honor winner.
He's a war hero.
Yeah, he pull him up, say, pull up some cushion. He is a war hero. He won awards and medals. And yeah.
Why didn't we do shots out of these?
I know, yeah. You could easily do a shot out of that knife.
I might later.
You're like, I might later, and you just go to do it, and you just fuck up and hit this knife end in your face?
I did it backwards.
Whoops.
Would Jimmy Stewart be Rambo, or would he be Teasel? Sheriff Teasel.
Obviously Rambo. You know how fucking huge Jimmy Stewart is? He's ripped.
He's jacked.
He'll walk up to Teasel and say, if you keep fucking with me, you're going to die. That's what's going to happen.
Don't push it.
Hey, nothing's over.
You can't shut it off.
I fell. I almost fell. Watched a man fall to his death. I got the vertigo now. You can't expect me to step up three steps on a stepladder, Mitch.
What if he was like, you can't shut it off, Madeline.
Can't
shut off how Madeline. I feel about you.
Yeah. I'm getting emotional.
I almost got a little lump in my throat during that final
scene. It's intense. Yeah, he's just... And Stallone brings... You hear people say Stallone isn't a good actor.
Bullshit.
He's a good actor. He's in bad movies. He's a good actor. He's a phenomenal actor. You watch him in Rocky. He's phenomenal. Watch him in Rocky. Any of the Rockies, really. He is great. Even Rocky Balboa, Creed 2, he's great in them. You watch Rambo. He knows the character and the role he's supposed to be. You watch, like, The Expendables. Like, those are dumb, fun movies, but he plays the role the way he's supposed to play the goddamn role. Like,
watch
he's not
Spy
a bad...
Kids 3.
Yeah, he's not a bad actor. He's just...
He's in
some bad movies, yeah. And the same goes for a lot of people that have this, like, misconception that people are bad actors, like Arnold. They're like, oh, Arnold's so bad. You watch him in one of his, like, best movies, and you're like, he's pretty good.
He's a great
There's
actor.
A reason they are in these films that are iconic. You know, watch Arnold in True Grit, or not True Grit.
That'd
Jesus.
Be amazing.
True Lie. Yeah, it would be. I'm Mr. Cogburn. I'm the sheriff. True Lies. Watch him in True Lies. Like, he's phenomenal in True Lies.
Watch him in Jingle All the Way.
Jamie!
He's phenomenal.
Yeah, he's great in everything, really. You watch these actors that people say, like, oh, they can't act. They can. Even, like, Nicolas Cage. People are like, Nicolas Cage can't act. The man, he can act in certain movies.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Other times he's a meme.
He's a good actor who's in bad movies. Just some actors are only in bad movies.
Yeah. Hence Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, here he is.
But, yeah. I mean, God, I don't ever get that argument.
Who would you recommend this movie to?
Everyone. I think this movie, you could argue, is like an important film in cinema, really.
It was the beginning of the modern day action movie.
Yeah,
A lot of films try to be like this style of action, especially the final scenes when he's rampaging around town blowing shit up.
Yeah, and that's why I was like, has a movie done this really where it's like this small little town and he's just like, it's literally, like I said, I made the joke, it's like Gremlins, but it's like a tiny little town getting rampaged by this one man wrecking machine, and he's hungry.
He's looking for someplace to eat.
That's all he wanted. They like finally corner him at the end. They do the different ending where he walks out for the shootout. And he's standing against the cops, and they're like, "What do you want?" And he's like, "I want my phone call.
That's all he needed.
I just want my food. I just want a burger. I just wanted a McDonald's or like a Big Mac." All right, that's the show.
He said Big Mac. I was like, he just wanted some rabbit.
You're like, you said Big Mac, and he shot a boar.
Oh yeah, he did eat.
He did eat boar.
He had his fill.
He had his blood.
First blood.
Yes.
And yeah,
I didn't draw first blood, and I'm like, ah, he said it.
He said it right there. I really like this film. I think I am gonna watch the second one tonight. And
I'm gonna watch Godzilla versus King Ghidorah tonight.
You win. But let's say this film came out today. First blood. Today, Rambo. Who's gonna make it? Who's gonna make it? Who's gonna direct it? Who's gonna star in it? What do you got for me?
Well, why don't we take it to the factory?
What that is?
How about that? So in this portion of the show, this is where we take the movie we just watched and we submit it to the factory. This is where we imagine what the film would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? Same film, just different cast and crew for modern booking. So with that being said, let's get into it. Rambo 1982, if it were coming out today, who would direct it?
Who do you got, child?
For my pick, I picked someone who knows the role well and who has directed countless movies and won Oscars for his films.
Okay.
And also directed three of the best action films in the past 15 years, and that is Sylvester Stallone.
He's won an Oscar for directing a film?
He's won an Oscar for helping to write a film.
Okay.
And starring in a film.
What movie did he direct?
He directed a film that won Best Picture, so you'd imagine that. I never got that, though.
No,
like,
he didn't direct Rocky.
He didn't direct Rocky, but he wrote it. He helped. I can read. I can read. he's been on projects that have won Oscars, obviously. He's been nominated for his acting. He's been nominated for his directing, because he was nominated for Rocky. Or not nominated for Rocky.
Jesus H. Christ. Just say Stallone.
He did The Expendables, damn it.
I guess you win.
Expendables 1 through 3. And he's Rambo. Jeez.
Fuck. I was going to...
Can you argue that? He directed Rocky.
He didn't direct Rocky.
He directed Rocky, he directed Rambo, Rocky Balboa. Over the top.
I don't think he did that either.
He directed... what's the one where he's a cop? Copland?
I don't know if he directed that
one
either.
He directed... what are the movies? Demolition Man?
I went to type in Sylvester Stallone. I typed in Rambo. Fuck.
That is his middle name. Sylvester Rambo Stallone.
This does need looked up. Give us a second.
What all did he direct?
I like your pick. I do have one that he's been nominated three times for Oscars.
Well, two best actor.
He's only directed nine movies, all right?
Three of them are The Expendables.
He directed Paradise Alley, Rocky 2, Rocky 3. He directed Staying Alive. How about that? Rocky 4, Rocky Balboa, Rambo, and the first Expendables. That's it.
Well, you could argue the first Expendables is the best one. But the second one's pretty good, too. And I haven't seen the third one yet.
And you could say the fourth Rambo is pretty goddamn juicy.
It is actually really rough. There's that scene where they pull up with like the 50 cal and they're just mowing down that village. You're like, Jesus, why did they film this?
My pick was George Miller.
Okay, Mad Max.
From Mad Max fame. He did the Mad Max quadrilogy, amongst other films.
But did he record all, or do all, record, direct all the Mad Max movies?
He recorded them, too. Yeah.
Pardon I did me. Not know that.
He was also on the
show. Is he Australian?
I believe so, yeah. He was on the short list for the original director for Rambo, believe it or not.
I don't believe it.
I believe it. I like his gritty style. I like his take on action. And I think he'd be a good fit for if we were to make Rambo today. Stallone hasn't directed a film in a while, just arguing against you a little bit. And not all his films are the greatest, but, I mean, they're all pretty memorable. That's no lie. My boy has directed Mad Max Fury Road. He's directed Happy Feet 1 and 2.
Oh, fuck. Wait, what?
Yeah. He directed Babe, Pig in the City.
Oh, shit. You won.
And Lorenzo's Oil. So, what do you got?
I gave you mine. Sylvester Stallone. He directed Rocky.
I guess we got to flip for it.
I guess. Well, heads, Sylvester Stallone. Tails, George R.R. Martin. George Miller.
Oh. Hey.
Heads, Stallone.
Sly. Coming back to his franchise.
Hey, he's going to bring it back to fruition. Last Blood's going to suck.
Sometimes I make a Stallone impression, but it sounds like Gaston doing this.
Hello, Belle!
Like, hello.
Hey, hello, Belle. Hello. I'm going to have sex with you. Forget about your crazy father, Maurice.
Crazy old Maurice, huh?
Yes. Composer. Or do we even need a composer? We didn't even mention the music. I was like, this music's so weird. And you're like, I like it.
I liked it.
Let's talk about that for a second.
It added a nice, like, levity to
it. It's kind of like, it is war music in a sense. It's a lot of, like, trumpets and drums. Like,
every time I go to hum it, though, I always hum, like,
the RoboCop theme.
I think it's the same composer. And I hum the Predator theme a lot.
What about the Aliens theme? Is there an Aliens theme?
Yeah, it's very subtle.
What about the Thing theme?
Boom, boom. I picked David Arnold to be my composer.
I didn't pick a composer, so I'm going to go with this. Okay. To explain David
yeah,
Arnold.
Yeah, David Arnold, I really like his stuff. He's been working for quite some time, and let me just
David.
Bring he did a lot of the recent James Bond films. Pretty much everything from
like Daniel Craig stuff.
Oh, from Tomorrow Never Dies up until.
So he didn't do GoldenEye.
He didn't do GoldenEye. He helped out with some tracks in GoldenEye. He was gonna do GoldenEye, but they.
GoldenEye's music is like what the 90s.
They
is
got
all
some
about.
Like odd French composer
yeah,
for that one.
It's like straight 90s feel.
It's a little experimental. But yeah, he went on to do. Let me just get. He's done a lot, so let me just try to find some of his earlier stuff.
Now you got me thinking of GoldenEye though. That
he did. Like that. Yeah, that love
that
sound.
Noise, yeah,
he did Stargate, Independence Day,
Stargate with Kurt Russell,
Tomorrow Never Dies, Godzilla, World's Not Enough. Like I said, all those Bond movies. He's done things like Zoolander and Die Another Day. He's been all over the place. Yes, Casino Royale. He recently did it was a couple years ago now, I guess, but he did the Olympics. He was in charge of the
oh,
music
he did,
for
like,
the Olympics.
The theme and stuff, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think
it's funny that they get a composer to do that. All right, we'll go with David Arnold. All right, so next up we'll get into our actors here. We got Rambo, Sheriff Teasel, and Colonel Troutman. Who would you like to cast first out of that group there?
Let's do Troutman.
Okay. Colonel Troutman. Who do you have?
I got a very experienced actor, someone who I could believe in. And I was kind of just going off the nuance of this actor. We did mention that he was a little off kilter a little bit. It sounded like he was out on a stage. So I wanted an actor who could tap into not silly elements, but slightly comedic. But I'm also going with someone who's played a colonel before. That's Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson. He tells you, but you let him go, because it's going to be carnage.
I knew you were going to fucking say that.
I haven't even seen that movie yet.
He was in goddamn War for the Planet of the Apes. He played Colonel Enat.
Colonel Mustang.
Yeah. He was in, what was that movie? Zombieland. The boy knows how to handle some weapons and some men.
He's in fucking Cheers, Hunger Games. He's Hamish.
Hamish, damn it.
I think that's his name in Hunger Games.
It is. Let's see. What else is he known for? He was in True Detective. He was fucking amazing in that.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's good. That's who I got as my colonel, indeed. Oh, he was also in Kingpin. How do we forget?
I went with an actor who can also bring that campy nature. He also, when you were saying, you're like, when you were telling me who he was, I'm like, do we have the same one? We didn't. I can bring that campy nature. He has played serious roles. He's played comedic roles. He's played roles right in the middle. We love him on the pod. We talk about him a lot. And that's Kurt Russell as the Colonel. Russell.
He was my original pick.
Hey, you let him out. He's my boy. I recruited him, trained him, taught him everything he knows.
I'm not opposed to that pick there, Pilgrim, because I did have him originally in mind. And I changed it halfway through.
But he seems like he'd be perfect, doesn't he?
Even
his cadence. It's kind of slow paced. I trained him, taught him everything he knows. I trained him, taught him everything he knows.
God didn't make him.
I did. We're going to hang him.
Jack Burton made him.
Yeah. It's almost too perfect. I like Woody Harrelson, but I'm like, Kurt Russell's almost too perfect for that role.
Yeah, I'll give him to you.
All right.
I'll give him to you because it's obviously the right pick. I did have him in mind, and I changed my mind. I should have stuck with him.
Yeah, you should have. How about Sheriff Teasel?
Brett Teasel.
Funny because I told you, I was like, I have a good pick for this. And you're like, oh, yeah? I'm like, we've never used him before. And I was like, who is that actor in that movie that I was thinking? I looked him up, and I'm like, we have used him several times. Anyways. Okay.
Then who is it?
I was watching The Sheriff, and I'm like, God, he's an asshole. And I was like thinking. I'm like, who plays asshole? Who plays an asshole?
Who plays asshole
good?
Well?
And
Percy.
I was thinking, and I was like, finally, I was looking at The Sheriff, and for whatever reason, this image popped into my head. Before you say his name, the guy from Jurassic World that wants the raptors to be used in the military. And it's Vincent D'Onofrio. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that because he's got, hair and a goatee in that. He looks a little different. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we've never used him before. Who is that? And I looked up, that's Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
Goddamn. He gets his arm eaten by a raptor.
He'll use him a time or two.
But you imagine that character from Jurassic World as that sheriff. Almost perfect. It, lines up.
He has experience being a cop.
He does. And he has experience being a mob boss.
He has experience being a bug as well.
Who?
Edgar.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He has experience
being... He's different than that, too.
He has experience being in the military, too.
He's Private Pyle.
Yes.
Yeah, so I thought he would be
perfect. He's in more shit than you remember.
I know. I haven't seen many of those movies, though. I've seen, obviously, Men in Black, but, I've only watched the first, 30 minutes.
That's all you need. That's all he's in.
Full Metal. Yeah, I know.
I think I have that beat, though. Vincent D'Onofrio is one of my favorite actors working today. If he's in it, I'm checking it out kind of deal. But, and for this role, he would be great. I have one to counteract that I think would be just a little bit more suited for the role. Now, imagine this actor I'm about to say and picture his nuance, his take on this role. No, I'm just kidding. Not Jeff Goldblum.
Take my advice. Shower. You smell. Yes.
Now I'm going dad. Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
So that is who I had picked for Colonel Troutman originally, and I switched him to Kurt Russell.
Didn't you, dirty dog?
Think about that, though. Colonel Troutman as Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He's my boy. My boys. Hi, son.
I got him as Sheriff Teasel. Him as Negan in Walking Dead.
As soon as, because I was like, has he been an asshole? I'm like, oh, he's been an asshole.
The first thing you ever saw him in, he was an asshole. He was, what was his name? What was his name in Watchmen?
Comedian.
Yeah, comedian. I was going to say, it's not the Joker.
He's kind of interesting, though. He's like a character study in that, too, though. Like, he's an asshole. He's a bad person, but he also is, like, suffering from, like, some PTSD.
And a little bit. He's done some bad things.
Yeah.
He's in The Possession.
He's in P.S. I Love You.
But most importantly, he's in Supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I'll flip you for it. Right. Jeffrey Dean Morgan for Vincent D'Onofrio. Heads, mine. Tails, yours. It's tails.
All right.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Okay, right. On to John Rambo V. Who you have?
That just came out.
It did indeed.
Rambo Last Blood.
Until it gets to Rambo Trickle.
So I'm sticking with Walking Dead a little bit. Going actor John Bernthal.
Okay.
Yes, it is Punisher. Very reminiscent of his take on Punisher, who is a very similar character. Gone through PTSD, just wants a normal life. He kind of decides to become a very rough vigilante.
Yes.
And similar
he's
to Rambo.
A bad guy in Walking Dead, too. Like, he's
yeah.
a bad person.
Yeah, a little bit.
Kind of goes crazy.
But, yeah, that's when I thought of us doing the movie Factory for First Blood. That was my first. Like, he instantly popped in my head, and that's probably from Punisher, honestly. But great actor, has a good look, and he has that ability to like click it on to go from 0 to 100, much needed for this kind of a role. And yeah, I think he could bring it as Rambo.
So the actor I picked, I had a hard time with Rambo, and
yeah,
I had an actor in mind, and then at the end of the movie, I walked up to your movie shelf, and I was looking, trying to get like someone else just to have, just in case. And the more I thought about him, the more I'm like, I think this guy could pull it off. So my actor that I chose has pulled off roles, through a role that he has played. He has pulled off highs and lows. He's pulled off intensity. He's pulled off comedy. He's pulled off seriousness, action. He's kind of like gone through the gauntlet with his role. He's kind of topical right now. And also, he's performed something, like he's done something before, like Rambo.
Bill Hader.
As Jared Padalecki. I was thinking of First Blood, the episode from the last season I watched of Supernatural. There's that episode called First Blood, yeah, where they're escaping like Camp David or the president's camp or whatever, and it's literally called First Blood, and it's just Dean and Sam making Rambo traps, and they're like stopping all these people coming after him with Rambo traps. It's a really great episode. But then I was like, Jared Padalecki could pull that off. Now we have Dad as the Colonel. I mean, just saying.
Calm down.
Yeah. Or not Dad as the Colonel, Dad as the Sheriff.
Oh, yeah, my
Dad as the Sheriff. But they could kind of, they butt heads in
they
the show.
Butt heads.
So, yeah, I was like, Jared Padalecki, I feel, because you know what I mean by, like, he's kind of run the gauntlet through Supernatural, as has Jensen Ackles, or anyone in that show, for that matter. They've really kind of had, like, 180s. Throughout, 360s even, 720s, goddamn. They've gone, you know,
three zeros.
0 3 seconds. But they, yeah, they've gone over everything. They've gone serious, they've gone funny, they've gone action-packed, they've gone evil. You know, Jared Padalecki's character in Supernatural, has been the bad guy. He's been possessed. He's been the devil. He's had these roles where he's like intense and, you know, everything. So I feel like he could pull it off. The reason I say he's topical right now is because he's going to be in that Texas Ranger.
Yes.
Walker, Texas Ranger show that's coming out, the reboot. The man was in The Christmas Cottage. Also in the Friday the 13th reboot with one of the greatest movie sex scenes of all time.
Maybe the best.
But that's rather here nor there. Jared Padalecki.
Because he's not even in the scene.
Yeah. Jared Padalecki as our John Rambo. I feel like he could pull it off, don't you think?
Yeah.
I feel like he'd be better, too. He's got the hair.
I thought John Bernthal would be perfect. Like, the only pick, but...
Jared Padalecki, pretty goddamn good. And they, that episode, think back to that First Blood episode. I was, like, watching... Because you have the supernatural... The reason that this I even got the idea is... When we're watching the film, on Gus's like shelf with his TV on it is the Supernatural, like every season. And I saw that, and I was like, oh, that was a great episode, and it was like this. And then I watched the movie. I'm like, I bet Jared Padalecki could do that. Hmm. And we've never used him.
No.
We've never used John Bernthal either, no, I don't think.
And you know what? I'm going to go with Jared Padalecki only. I'm not even going to challenge you for a flip. Only because John Bernthal playing the Punisher is pretty much the same thing. Pretty much. And I'd like to see Jared Padalecki tackle something like that instead.
Yeah. Yeah. Alrighty. Well, that is our film. We got Sylvester Stallone directing, David Arnold composing, our Colonel Troutman played by Kurt Russell, our Sheriff Teasel played by Dad, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and Rambo played by Jared Padalecki, Sam himself.
Sam.
So, yes, indeed. So, before we get going, do you have a question in mind?
So, if you were being chased in the woods by a squad of incompetent police officers, who would you feel safer with?
I can't pick Rambo?
Yeah.
I can't pick Rambo.
You can't pick Rambo, and you can't pick Kevin McAllister.
Shit. The kid from Home Alone 3. The Predator.
I'm going Dutch.
I could go Dutch, yeah. Yeah. Dutch would probably be better, because he's basically just adult Kevin McAllister.
Who do you think would win in a fight to the death, Rambo or Dutch? That's good.
Fuck! Why hasn't that happened?
Why is my penis suddenly hard?
That should be Rambo Final Blood. Rambo versus Dutch. They take Rambo where he can't hurt anyone anymore, and they drop him into this like jungled prison, and on it is just where they left Dutch, or even like the Condemned 5. Like there's Steve Austin, Dutch, Randy Orton somewhere
for some reason.
John Cena just walking. That'd be great. Dutch versus Rambo. Fuck. That'd be hard. That'd be hard in multiple ways. Yeah, that's... Because, like, he'd be, like, hitting them with logs and shit and spiked. Ah, man. Yeah. What if it was Dutch and Rambo versus Dutch and Rambo versus 5 Predators? Do you think they would be able to pull it off?
Easily.
You think?
200 cops against one man.
They just slather all that blood on them. Well, that is the show, everyone. We hope you enjoyed it. Before we get going, some closing statements here. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out on Audioboom if you haven't already. That is our primary source for podcasting. We post the podcast there. Force first. They distribute it out everywhere else. The Force. It's true, all of it. So they distribute it out to Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find us there. But check us out on Audioboom first if you can. Also, you can find us on the social medias. We are on Twitter at The Bros Movie Pod. That is where we'll be posting updates to what we'll be watching, clips from the episode, memes that Gus makes, and we'll also be retweeting a lot of great shows. You can also find us on Facebook.
Hey, you go to Facebook, you find The Brothers Movie Factory there. If you type it in, you know, you go up that search bar, type in Brothers Movie Factory. And you'll find us there. Like us, share us. I make memes and pictures to go along with what we're watching each and every week. I include links to the things Ben's mentioned. Spotify, Twitter, Audioboom, things of that nature and that.
Yes. And before we get going, one final announcement. Coming up at some point in October, we are going to be a part of 8-Bit Horror Fest. There's a podcast out there, if you've never heard of it, called The 8-Bit Geek. They're a great podcast. Be sure to check them out. Search them up on wherever you find your podcast services. But they hold a month-long event called 8-Bit Horror Fest, where they watch horror movies and they post other people's shows. So we will be doing that here shortly. So be sure to keep an eye out for that. When we get more information of when that episode is coming, we will let you know. But until next week, brothers...
Brothers.